Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
How are you all? Who just got whiplash when we're talking about Christmas? It is upon us, people. It is upon us. Amazing. Who's ready for the word of the Lord today? We are going to go to the scriptures. Who thinks that's a good idea? Luke chapter 10 is where we're headed today. And we're going to read from verse 25, a big chunk of scripture. So you're ready to focus on the word of the Lord this morning. Let's focus our attention on all that Jesus is wanting to tell us. The parable of the Good Samaritan. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, this lawyer, so he asked Jesus and he said, who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said this, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Poor guy. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where this man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds. He poured on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, I guess the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. What an incredible passage of scripture, right? Go and do likewise. I want to preach to you today on the thought, love your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, love your neighbor. Love me. Love your neighbor. Jesus himself is speaking to us today. I asked the media team to prepare my slides with the red letters included because I really wanted us to engage with the heart of Christ. Let's see and hear the heart of Jesus for us. These are not some nice ideas from Chrissy on a Sunday morning. Who knows? Nobody really needs that. You know, these are the heartbeat of Jesus Christ, for anyone who would call themselves his follower. We need to pay attention. And it is, the truth is, whether you got whiplash this morning or not, the truth is that it's November. There's less than 2 months before 2024 is done. It is going. It is gone. You know, whether you've had a good year or a bad year, it actually doesn't matter. It's just about over. And Christmas is coming. And the thing about Christmas is it lends us as the church this incredible opportunity. Like the world is a little bit more interested at Christmas time. They're a little bit more interested in community spirit and love. And it's at Christmas time that they will tolerate the baby in the manger. Am I right? Am I right? They might even celebrate the baby in the manger. And when the world leans in, we don't want to be found sleeping. Am I right? When the world leans in, we have to be ready. And that is why we give, we help, and we bring. Every year we campaign around these three words. We get busy to seize this opportunity that Christmas actually presents to us. And I love it because it serves to remind us that our Christianity is not just about us. It's not just about us. Newsflash, there's more to being a Christian. There's more to being a Christmas. There's more to being a Christian than our 2 hours here on a Sunday morning. You know, once a week or once a fortnight or once every few weeks, whatever it might be for you. You know, there's more to our Christianity than that. We are on mission for Jesus. We're His ambassadors in the world. Amen. We're tasked with bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. But if we don't shake ourselves periodically, we're going to drift towards selfishness, right? We're going to drift towards self-centeredness, because nobody ever drifts towards selflessness. We only ever drift the negative direction. We only drift towards a self-centered preoccupation. If we really want to be about others, if we really want to be about reaching those far from God, we're going to have to do that by intention. It's going to take intention. So let this message today act like a bit of a holy shakeup. Is that okay? So that we can all collectively and individually keep focused on the things that Jesus is wanting us to focus on. So in this text, in Luke chapter 10, we just read it, this lawyer comes to Jesus. And I want to say, he's not a modern lawyer. He's not going to write a will for you. He's not going to look over your contract. It's not like that at all. He's a first century lawyer. That means he's an expert in the Mosaic law. He's a highly religious person. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Well, you're an expert in the law. You tell me. Answer your own question. You tell me." And he pipes up and he says, "Okay, I have to love God with my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, and I need to love my neighbor as myself." And Jesus says, "You got it. That's perfect. That's the right answer. I'm happy with that. If you do that, you will live." And the Amplified version of that text actually says, "Do that habitually and you will live." Like, habitually love God, habitually love others. And this is Jesus, remember? That is what he is saying. That is how we live the kingdom way. That's how we live the Jesus way. And it's a mind-blowing statement from Jesus, because he's in essence saying, when you habitually engage your life in loving God with everything and loving your neighbor as yourself, that's actually a key to experiencing eternal life right now. Not just some version of like life when you die, but actually unlocking the God kind of life, the God quality of life right here, right now. It's an amazing principle that Jesus was unlocking for us. And he says, this law of love, to love God, love people, he was expressing that it is paramount to Jesus. It's not just some little side hustle. It's what blesses the Lord. It unlocks us. And according to Jesus, it's the most important thing. Most important thing. He says as much in Matthew. He says as much in Mark, when he was literally asked by various ones, "What is the most important thing?" And his answer in Matthew, his answer in Mark was consistent with his answer here in the Gospel of Luke. Love God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. So there's no wriggle room for us, hey? There's no escaping for the Christian. To follow Christ is to love our neighbor. No ifs or buts or maybes, love our neighbor. But the lawyer from the text, he was not satisfied. He says, "Well, Jesus, define neighbor. Like, who actually is my neighbor?" Don't we all do that from time to time? Do you remember when you were a young person and your mum said, "Clean your room," and you're like, "Define clean." You know, is it okay if I just kick things under my bed? You know, is it okay if I dust with my bath towel? That sort of thing. You know, speaking from experience. But it's kind of the same attitude coming out of this lawyer. He's looking for a loophole. He's looking for a bare minimum obedience, like define neighbor. He's looking to put a limit on love, a limit that would hopefully require less of him, not more of him. Like, who actually is my neighbor? Is my neighbor just my loved ones? Is my neighbor just my type of people, the people that I get along with, the people that I associate with? Is my neighbor just my, you know, literal people who live next door? Who actually is it? And I think either subconsciously or consciously, we can be guilty of having a same similar type of attitude as this lawyer that encountered Jesus that day. Like, we try and shrink back a little bit from our clear and obvious biblical responsibility to love the world around us. And we try and put limits on what we're prepared to do and what we're not prepared to do, or what types of people we will show regard to, on those we won't, and under what circumstances, and so on and so forth. And it's probably never spoken, but I think sometimes that attitude can exist in our heart. Am I right? And this whole account here in Luke chapter 10, both the interaction that Jesus has with the lawyer and also the parable that he tells to correct the thinking of the lawyer, Jesus is using this account to expose a religious spirit that you and I can so easily get entrapped with. We who are practiced Christians can fall into this trap where we ascend to a particular way of life and living, but we don't actually live it. Like Jesus' illustration right there in the parable of the priest and the Levite. They are the holy ones, you understand. The priest and the Levite, and of all the people, these are the people that should have been loving, that should have been compassionate to the beat up guy on the side of the road, and yet they didn't. They crossed the road and they left the guy there in need. And I want to put to us today, have you and I ever left someone there in their need? Maybe not in a literal, physical, beat up on the side of the road kind of need. Maybe not that kind of need, but have we ever left someone in spiritual need? Maybe life had beaten them up, right? Maybe sin and shame had beaten them up. Maybe confusion and doubt had beaten them up. Maybe they didn't know Jesus. Maybe they didn't have any hope. And metaphorically speaking, maybe we crossed the road. Maybe we didn't move to meet that need. Maybe we were the ones that walked on by. If I'm being really honest today, I have done that. I have done that. I need this message as a holy shake-up. Don't worry about you guys. I need to preach this to my own self. Like, when was the last time we got really desperate in prayer for someone else? When was the last time we really, truly carried a burden that was someone else's? And, you know, maybe for you, the answer to that question is, I do that all the time. Like, earnestly, in my heart of hearts, I do it all the time. And for you, amazing. Keep on going. Teach me your ways. But maybe if you're honest, it's actually been a while. And in this parable, the warning is right there for us. It's right there for those of us who are so good at coming to church. We're so good at talking the talk. We can know all about what pleases God, but not actually be doing what pleases God. We can be so expert in the Bible. We can be Christians by name. We can be pastors and leaders and teachers. We can carry the fivefold ministry. We can do all the things, but are we fulfilling the law of love? When we know what God wants, but we don't do what God wants, the book of James is quite harsh. He says we're deceived. When we know it, but don't do it, James 1:21, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Like, it actually couldn't be more plain. We're called to live out. We're called to live out what the word of the Lord says, and the word calls us as an absolute top priority. It calls us to love. It calls us not just to know about love or quote the scriptures on love, but to actually love our neighbors as ourselves. Do I have an amen? And so that brings me back to the question that the lawyer asked, define neighbor, who is my neighbor? And truthfully, I'm really glad the lawyer asked it because it actually helps us unpack. It helps us know the heart of Christ. It helps us really see what he desires for us. And Jesus answered this lawyer's question, not with a straightforward answer, but he answers the question by telling the parable. And for the sake of time today, let's just summarize the parable together. Jesus was in essence saying, your neighbor is anyone that's right in front of you. I say it again. Your neighbor is anyone that's right in front of you, and to love them is to see their need and to do what's in your power to meet it. That's what Jesus means by love your neighbor as yourself. Be a people who are prepared to engage the human need that's right in front of you. He's not asking us to meet the needs we can't do anything about. Amen? Do I have an amen? You know, you can read the news. There's the hurricane victims, you know, in America. There's the war victims, you know, in the Middle East. There's the flood victims in Spain and in Thailand. And there's all these overwhelming needs going on all around the planet. And we can throw our hands up in defeat and go, what difference can I make? What could I actually do? It's all a little bit overwhelming and we fall back and we do nothing. I want to bring you good news. The parable of the Good Samaritan is not talking to you about the needs you can't meet. Don't worry about the needs you can't meet. It's talking to us about the needs we can. The needs we can, like what's right in front of us right now. Who is right in front of us right now? That is your neighbor. That's the one the Lord is asking you to minister to. And if we're a people interested in shaking off a religious spirit, who's interested in shaking off a religious spirit? Amen. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Amen. I don't want to say one thing and do another. If we're interested, not just talking the talk, but we actually want to live it out. I got three keys today, how we can truly love our neighbor. You here for it today, church? First key today, see. Everyone say see. See, see. There's a difference between looking and really seeing. Do I have any Gen Xers in the room? Loud and proud. One, great. Gen Xers. Who remembers from Gen X? Who remembers Magic Eye? Oh, come on. Somebody. Yeah, it's a few like sneaky confessions going on here today. Let's put up a picture of a Magic Eye. These things were hot back in the 90s. These things were amazing. And there's a lot of confused faces around the room. Wow, I thought Magic Eye was like a thing. But at first glance, if you just take a little look at this thing, all you see is a colorful picture. All you see is a big, you know, vomit of color, but Gen Xers know. Gen Xers know. If you give this colorful picture more than just a little look, like if you really give yourself to seeing it, if you really stare at that thing, then you're going to see so much more. See, you're not born in the 90s. Sorry. But if you stared at these things for long enough, a 3D image would pop out at you. And it would be something really random, like a banana and apple. It'd be something like a burger and fries, a horse and cart. It would be amazing. But when you really saw it, you were going to see so much more. Life in the 90s, nothing like it. Take me back. That's it. I don't know. I have no idea. I just punch you all. Everyone's like, I really want to see it. I have no idea. Anyway, hey, I was in a rush to get this sermon written, right? Just Google image. That'll do. But you had to really stare at that to see a little look. Was never going to show what was really there. And that is kind of like the people around us. We got to be prepared not to just give them a little look, but we got to be prepared to really see them. really see them. A quick look at humanity is never actually going to reveal to us the fullness of what's going on with them in front of us. You know, the priest and the Levite in the parable, they had a quick look at the beaten up guy, and then they refused to really see him. They refused to engage deeply with the need that was right in front of them to really see. You have to be intentional about that. You have to be looking in a certain way, not just with open eyes, but with an open heart. To really see someone, you've got to look with an open heart. Look at others with an others-centered posture that is prepared to see beyond the surface of things. He's calling us to see someone's heartache. He's calling us to see someone's struggle, see someone's searching, see someone's lostness. Like, you remember Jesus in John chapter 4, he ministered so beautifully to the Samaritan woman at the well. And I want to tell you, he was able to do that because he wasn't prepared to just have a little look. He really saw her. He really saw her life, and he met the deepest needs of her spirit and her soul. Her life transformed that day because Jesus Christ was prepared to really see her. And in the context of having done that for the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus actually says this to his disciples to teach them. John 4, verse 35. He says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest?" Jesus tells the disciples, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are actually white for harvest." It's right there. Jesus wants us to see something. In other words, he wants us to look differently at the world around us. Who in your world right now might the Lord be asking you to see? Like, really see. Maybe behind their smile is a broken heart. You know, maybe behind their well put together exterior and their confident words, maybe there's a real longing. Maybe there's a real search or confusion or pain. Are you prepared to love your neighbor by just seeing them? Not just with your open eyes, but with your open heart. And of course, when you give yourself to seeing your neighbor like that, it starts to dictate how you act. Yeah. The second key today is we have to act. Everyone say act. Yeah. Act. What we learn from the parable of the Good Samaritan is this kind of love will cost us something. It'll cost us. It will demand from us some kind of action as a demonstration of the love that we say that we have. And all throughout Scripture, we learn that love is more than just a concept. It's more than words. It's demonstrated through action. 1 John 3, verse 17 and 18. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Good question, very good question. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Amen? If our love doesn't act, then it's not really love. And if our love doesn't act, then it definitely doesn't look like the love of Jesus. Because one thing we learned from Jesus throughout the entire Gospels, his love always acted. The Scripture says the love of God was demonstrated through Jesus' actions. The fact that he was prepared to come and hang on that Roman cross for you and for I. Time and time again throughout the entire gospel, the Scripture records that Jesus saw the multitudes, that his heart was filled with love and compassion for him. And what happened next? Always action. He always sprung into action, whether it was healing them or laying hands on them or feeding them or ministering to them or meeting their needs. His love towards you, his love towards me, his love towards the people in the Gospels was not just words or speech, but it was this love in action. Yeah. love in action. And that's why I love what we do here at Nations at Christmas time. Give, help, bring. Have you noticed they're all verbs? They're all doing words, they're action words, and they're so aligned with the heart of Christ because it's literally love in action. And yes, it costs us something. Yes, it costs money. Yes, it costs time and effort and inconvenience. And don't you know it's Christmas time? It's already busy, etc. Yes, we know, but it's love in action. It's love in action. How? And my question to us all is, how might the Lord be asking us to put our love in action in the next 2 months? Maybe it is about getting involved in what's happening here at church. Maybe the Lord's going to lay His finger upon you to do some, put your love into action in your world, in your workplace, in your school, in your place of education, whatever it might be. It might be a little bit of both. But what action is the Holy Spirit asking of you, and are you bold enough to ask Him? Are you bold enough to ask Him? Because when we act, we look like Jesus, and that's when we're actually loving our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. And third and final key to love our neighbor is to speak. Everyone say speak. Speak. If we're going to fulfill the law of love, we actually have to be prepared to put the message of life on our lips. Speak the gospel. Speak of what Jesus Christ has actually done for you. Speak. This is how we love our neighbor. This is one of the ways that we act to meet their spiritual need. We do so by speaking. And you might say, well, hold up. You just said love not with words and speech, but love with action. Love with actions. You are contradicting yourself today, Chrissy. And I would say to that the genius is in the and. The genius, it's not actually one or the other, it's both. There is a time for acting and there is a time for speaking. The fulfillment of one does not negate the other. And too often Christians have dodged their responsibility to speak. And we might have even hidden behind good works to avoid having to actually speak. But I'm pretty sure if we read Mark 16 and we read the Great Commission, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's a speaking. It's not one or the other. It's actually both. And if we're truly going to love our neighbor, we have to pick up our responsibility to speak of the love of Jesus Christ. He didn't say, go into all the world and win an argument. Amen. He didn't say, go into all the world and converse like an academic. You know, we put all that pressure on our own selves. We put that on ourselves, but Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just tell of the reality of Christ and tell of all that He's done for you. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I like to extract the verbs from this passage and reverse the order. Go with me. First, there is a sending. That's what I'm doing here right now. I'm sending us. First, there's a sending. And then when we're sent, there comes a preaching. That word preach is not just referencing the preacher on the stage. That word preach is actually referencing you and me with the message of Jesus Christ on our own lips. And in our preaching, there comes a hearing. And in hearing, only in hearing, comes an opportunity for believing. And in the believing, it initiates a calling. And in the calling, there comes a saving, because the scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the thing is that the whole thing breaks down if there's no preaching. If the people of God will not speak. We need to get the message of Jesus Christ back on our lips. If we want to love our neighbor, we have to share our testimony. We have to speak of the love of Jesus Christ, because that's what's going to give them an opportunity to hear and believe. And as they hear and believe, they're going to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen. Amen. Singers and musos, you can come and join me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a church full of professional Christians. Anyone just want to be a professional Christian? Not really interested in the real deal. Good. You know, I don't want to be a church just full of people that know the things. You know, we know the things. We've heard the things. You know, our Sunday job is to just rate the message. Oh, yeah, 6 out of 10. She's doing all right today. 8 out of 10. You know, like, come on. I want to be like that. I don't want to know the things but neglect to actually do them. I don't want to wear a label of love without actually loving, without actually being somebody that exhibits the love of Christ. If Jesus himself says that the way to live the kingdom life is to love God with all that we are, and love our neighbor as ourselves, then that's actually what I want to do. And that's what I want to lead others to do. And that's what I'm praying, you know, that we will all do. Can you imagine if we put this into practice habitually? Habitually accessing Holy Spirit's help. Habitually loving God with all that we are. Habitually loving our neighbor as ourselves. I believe we wouldn't have to pray for revival anymore. I believe revival would actually land on our doorstep. I believe that as we gave ourselves to not just looking with our eyes, but looking with our heart. You know, as our hearts opened, I believe so our church would fill. Our church would fill. And in this room alone, you know, those online, our lives could be the catalyst for many hundreds, even thousands, both hearing and believing, calling from their own heart and being saved. Amen? Amen. I know that in that, Jesus would be so glorified. Jesus would be so magnified. And our hearts would be so filled as we knew we were walking in alignment to the heart of Christ. Amen. Not with a priest and Levite type of spirit. I see your need. I walk away. But with that genuine desire to be Christ in our world. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.